This is number 6.
As you study with the eye of a leader, you will be amazed that many so-called modern leadership discoveries are not really so modern. They were used by leaders thousands of years ago. We set out on a quest that will bring us great reward. It will bring anyone great reward who is studying management and leadership theory. If you examine any book on leadership, you will notice certain qualities or characteristics or developmental traits that leaders are to be growing and using for success in the organization. Take any list from any reputable book on leadership, and beside each item, a leader is out front. He is seen in the work by his followers. He's not in the background, but he's the forefront pointing the way to the completion of the task. A leader is involved in the most personal ways in the goals and objectives of the organization. He does not stay on the 51st floor of the executive building in isolation from the ones that he is to lead, but rather he is in the midst of what is happening, initiating action and activity. Initiation is the spirit needed to organize action. An initiator does not wait for things to happen. He takes the first steps. He initiates the action. He starts the process and guides the process to its completion. He does what is necessary to bring success to the project. You'll certainly notice, and we have to say, creative. Here we find an originality of thought and execution. The truth is that effective leaders in any field are a bit unconventional with an urge to create. And creativity in thought and action is necessary to stay ahead of the game as well as to avoid being overtaken with problems. Someone said that creativity is the steam that powers the locomotive of progress. Creativity is a stimulant to growth. The organization with no new ideas stops growing. And the organization that stops growing starts dying. The challenge, therefore, is to be creative. Danny Cox has listed certain characteristics of creative leaders. We share these with you. Number one, a creative person is first and foremost curious and inquisitive. Number two, a creative person wants to discover as many alternatives as possible. Number three, creative people feel that however good the present is, there's always a better future waiting to be discovered. Number four, creative people are drawn forward into uncharted territory by an eagerness for the future. Number five, an effective leader will see to it that creative people get quality feedback on their ideas. Most organizations need all the ideas they can get, and the contributions of every worker to the ideation process is not only desirable, but necessary. Number six, creative people are willing to scrap something that doesn't work and move forward. Keep yourself in the proper frame of mind. Be on the lookout for new things. Be on the growing edge of your field. Danny Cox has mentioned four blocks to creativity that an effective leader must deal with. Number one, we've always done it this way. Habits are hard to break. Some people will say that they're just not creative, but what they really mean is that they are more comfortable with how things have always been than with how good things truly could be. Habits mean hanging on to the status quo. The result is to repeat yesterday, which we have determined already is the opposite of growth and creativity. The rallying cry of the habit bound is, we've always done it this way. The second roadblock to creativity. Why can't we leave well enough alone? Fear often explains why we stick with habits and other repetitive behavior longer than we should. You hear people constantly cautioning others, it's better to leave well enough alone. As I've already mentioned, many people opt to remain in an uncomfortable yet familiar situation rather than take the risk involved with breaking into the unknown. Fear of what might happen keeps people immobilized far more than fear of something known. Again, why can't we leave well enough alone? The third block to creativity. That wouldn't work here. Fear and ignorance frequently team up to form prejudice. Prejudice exposes itself when you hear people say, well, that's not our company way of doing things. And then the fourth block to creativity. Don't rock the boat. Inertia stops creativity cold. If our fear is strong enough to immobilize us, we will hesitate to make any move or shift our weight in such a way that might rock the boat. Even if an organization is following a specific road with its creativity, it's important not to exclude the possibility that there might be other directions worth exploring. Four blocks to creativity. We found, therefore, that creativity can flourish in an environment that has certain essential characteristics. Among these characteristics, I think, would be the following. Number one, experimentation. To experiment is to try new ideas and new procedures and new ways. To experiment is to understand that not all the ideas will work. We'll not come up a winner every time. There will be failures. That is expected. But the exciting thing is that each failure brings us closer to the next success. Life is filled with illustrations of those who were willing to experiment, to take the risk, to fail, but not to stop. The amazing thing is that these folk are remembered not for their failures, but they are remembered for their successes. For example, Babe Ruth struck out 1,330 times. But in between his strikeouts, he hit 714 home runs. R.H. Macy failed in retailing 7 times before his store in New York became a success. Edison tried thousands of filaments before finding the right one for the light bulb. Pete Rose is in the record books for the most career hits when he hit number 4,192 in September of 1985. But along the way to that record, he struck out 9,518 times. Creativity can flourish in that environment where there is experimentation, realizing you're not always going to come up every time with an idea that works, but never stopping to experiment. Number two, a willingness to picture what ifs. Urge your people to play the what if game and toss around new ideas. It's very similar to a brainstorming approach. A third characteristic of an environment that is certainly conducive to creativity. Number three, there will be an element of spontaneity. Keep the door open for new ideas constantly. Encourage innovation wherever possible. Be a creative leader. Be a facilitator of change. The effective leader is like that. He moves the organization from one state to another, which is better than the first, and he keeps that process going. One writer illustrated this with the description of a juggler who has several balls in the air at the same time, and from time to time the ball comes into contact with the juggler, who gives it a burst of energy and sends it skyward again. Well, this is what the leader does with projects and procedures and changes. Leadership is inexplicably connected with the process of innovation, of bringing new ideas, methods, or solutions into use. The ultimate test of practical leadership is the realization of intended real change that meets people's enduring needs. Thus, the organization is substantially improved because of the change. This means that there is a real difference that can be seen or felt or measured. The new structure made a difference. The implementation brought solutions. Thus, leaders must be agents of change and innovators. The effective leader is one who practices management by objectives. He expends his energies within the framework of predetermined goals. Aims are absolutely necessary, for activities carried on at random are useless. It is to no avail that it aim at nothing, even if that be hit with accuracy. To shoot into the air with no thought as to where the landing ought to take place is folly. Success is not always certain, but never should work be done aimlessly. Only as its work is done with right aims and objectives will that purpose be realized. It is not sufficient that there be results, however satisfying these may be, if the purpose of the organization is not achieved. In an organization, there are, of course, goals within goals. As lesser goals are attained one after another, the larger inclusive goal is ultimately reached. This final goal or purpose must always be kept clearly in mind, and everything that is done, whether it is great or small, must contribute in some way to its attainment. To aim is to see beforehand what is to be done, and then so concentrate attention as to direct energy to accomplish what is in mind. The more complex the process, the more are aims, great and small, intermingled. Each step or stage in such a process grows out of the preceding one and is a link in an unbroken chain of steps leading to the achieving of the ultimate goal or purpose. For each single step of a properly ordered course or procedure, there must be a clear and definite aim. Thus, aims are immediate steps taken one after the other in organizational activities toward goals which keep the leaders and workers moving on the way to achieve the final objective of the organization. Aims give direction to all activity involved in the organizational processes. They motivate and stimulate leaders and workers. They serve as a source of inspiration for the leader, for it brings a sense of destiny and a challenge to persevere even when the going is difficult. Here's some guidelines to follow in establishing aims and objectives and goals. Guideline number one. Each goal should be conceivable. This means that with your present situation, you can visualize this goal being achieved. Number two, each goal should be believable. Those who are aiming at the target must fully believe that the goal can and will be reached. Number three, each goal should be achievable. Nothing discourages participants more than never accomplishing what is expected of them. Goals must be challenging enough to evoke interest and participation, but they must never be unreasonable. Number four, each goal must be measurable. If a goal cannot be measured by quantity, quality, or time, it is little better than having no target at all. Constant evaluation must be carried out to determine if progress is being made and if expectations are being met. Number five, each goal must be desirable. If you set a goal which involves something you really don't want to do, then there will be little interest or participation in hitting the target. Number six, each goal must be stated with no alternative. It's absolutely essential that you set one goal at a time. Nothing will be accomplished if you state an either-or alternative. Keep in mind that realistic goals are best accomplished when those who are aiming at the bullseye are responsible for setting up the target. Get as many of your people as possible involved in the planning. Setting goals, of course, is not always easy, and those involved require a great amount of practice. But if you set goals, you will begin to see improvements in the planning and working out of your organizational procedures. Hitting the target, then, will not be a matter of chance, but a deliberate result of aiming at the target. You will see growth within staff and workers alike as you set a target and practice your aim. Without goals, you cannot measure progress. Without goals, there's no way of knowing if you're accomplishing what you were sent to do.